you are weren't here last week, we have started a new series called Real Life, Real Lessons. And it is a series where we're going through and looking at some of the lives that we see recorded in Scripture and how and what life lessons we can take from their life and their experiences, their real life, into our world, into our experiences. And this morning, we have the very, very wonderful privilege of having Tim preach for the very first time ever. So, Tim, why don't you come on up, and I will pray, and we will... We'll see what God will do. So let's pray for Tim now. God, we thank you for this incredible man of God. We thank you. I thank you for every step of his life journey that has brought him to this point in this time and in this place, that you have been with him every step of the way. And so, God, in his own life journey, Father, would you again this morning prove yourself faithful to him? God, as he has prepared this week with all of the other things that he's got to do and all of the other pressures that he carries, God, as he has met with you, as he has been alone in your presence, Father, for the express purpose of giving generously to all of us this morning, Holy Spirit, would you fill him to overflowing? That when he sits down at the end of this message, he will be filled to overflowing, not in lack. God, that you would fill his cup, that you would bless him as he blesses us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hopefully you can hear me. Good morning. So as Lyndon mentioned, I'm Tim Lowe, and my usual audience is tribe. So it's slightly different being up here in front of you guys today. Is any families who have kids in tribe in with us? Yeah, awesome. Your kids are so good. I just am so blessed to be looking after tribe, and I'm also extremely sorry for 2 weeks ago when we did the painting exercise and probably ruined some of their best clothes. So my family and I have been part of the Vineyard family for 3 years when we moved into the area, moving back from Australia. And it's been such a blessing to be on this journey with all of us as we've moved into this new home, and that we embark on all the exciting things that God really has laid out before us. So today it is the 13th of July, and it's a very special date for our family. As many of you know, 2 years ago, we lost my father-in-law, Neil, and today would have been his 72nd birthday. And so 2 years ago today, we actually had his funeral. And that was just such a blessing to our family, how this family really wrapped and got in around us at that time. Like I mentioned, we're only 1 year into the community. We didn't know too many people. And just one memory that really sticks in my mind that was such a blessing was just turning up to the church that day to deliver something, and just a swarm of people setting up for us and in the kitchen, and that's what this family is all about. And so just much araha and love to you all. So today the goal is to inspire us with examples from the Bible that show us the message that Jesus has for us that are applicable into our daily walk with him. Lessons from thousands of years ago that are relevant to our walk with him today. Because God's word is such an incredible gift that teaches us in miraculous and personalized ways that can help us each individually connect with him and align with him for his true purpose within his plan for our lives. So my role today will be to guide us through aligning the real life and real lessons from a Bible character who I've chosen, which is Aaron. And this was completely not planned. So there was no collaborating between Sherilyn and I with her amazing message last week with Moses. I think that was just a really cool thing that God did to lead on to this week, when God put on my heart before all this was planned that I'd speak on Aaron. Aaron may seem like a weird choice. He's probably not one of the big guns that you think of straight away when you think of someone in the Bible that potentially we can learn from and take into our lives. But it's been an absolute incredible experience for me. Like Lyndon said, this is the first time I've ever had the opportunity to speak, so to really dig into the Bible deeply on a particular character. And what was revealed was quite different to what I initially thought when God put Aaron on my heart. I thought, I think I know where you're coming from. And he took me down a different path, which is quite neat. So I'm looking forward to sharing that today. So from everyone here, I want you to really think about what we're learning from Aaron today, and think about your own personal circumstances and what you're going through, what you experience, and how the story of Aaron can really be implemented into our own lives. So I'm going to be sharing some passages from Exodus. A lot of Aaron's life is from there, and really dig into the story a little bit. And I invite you to contribute at times as well. Check a little bit of knowledge and whatnot, and show off about your Bible knowledge would be great. So if you'll just pray with me first, that'll be fantastic. Lord God, we just thank you for your incredible word. We just thank you for your plan for our lives, and we just thank you for the lessons that we can learn from the Bible. We just thank you for everyone who was obedient to get along here today for the express purpose of learning more about you and worshiping you, Lord. We just ask that you open our hearts and help us to align with you and leave this place feeling even closer to you, and just to be able to go out and shine your light into the world this week. Amen. So, question time. What do we know about Aaron? I invite you to share. What's a few things that come out when you think about the highlights and stories of Aaron in the Bible? Anyone got anything they want to shout? Yes, he was the spokesman. That's a big one. He was the brother of Moses. Well done. Could be good or bad. Any other highlights from Aaron's life? Yes. That's the big one, right? There's Aaron up in heaven going, don't say it, don't say it. Just keep that one out. Anything else? Anything else that jumps out? Yeah, he was the first priest of Israel. Absolutely. Yes, so Aaron was a Levite. He was the older brother of Moses. He was the spokesman for Moses. He was the voice. He also played a huge part in leading the Israelites out of Egypt. He held the staff a whole lot and brought forward, turning the Nile into blood, bringing forth frogs and gnats and other bits and pieces like that. And he was the first high priest of Israel. And he made the golden calf. We'll get onto that later. His lineage, his sons as the Levites, carried on as priests as well. And Aaron, along with Moses and Miriam, were also never actually made it into the promised land after all that they'd been through. So at the time of Aaron connecting with Moses again to start the whole big journey that we learn about in Exodus, he was actually 83 years old, if you can believe, with all this going down, with Moses being about 3 years younger at 80. And then, of course, following that, they went into the wilderness for almost 40 years, and as I mentioned, didn't quite get to the promised land, so he was about 123 when he died. And he was a middle child. So if you can pop that slide up, just show a little bit about the family. As Christina mentioned, that Aaron was Moses' brother. And of course, you had Miriam, who's the older sister, who's the brave young woman who followed Moses down the river and reached out to Pharaoh's daughter. And then, of course, the superstar Moses is his younger brother. So Aaron fit right there in the middle. Do we have any middle children? Excellent. So, I mean, middle children are special, right? You're great, great mediators, always seeking fairness, but sometimes have feelings of a little bit being overlooked and neglected at times.
Hard done by.
Oh, it's got to be tough for you middle kids, but hey, we love you. We see you. You must know what it's a little bit like for Aaron, right? Let's give the middle children a hand. Come on. Good on you guys. But as we're going to speak about, Aaron was more in the Bible than just the brother of Moses. He played a major role in Israel's freedom from Egypt, as mentioned, and he helped shape Israel's spiritual life. His story shows us messages of leadership, weakness, and faith. And that's what we'll dig in today, these aspects of Aaron's life. So leadership, I'll just do a little bit of reading from Exodus now, and then we'll jump into the story a little bit. Excellent. All right, so Exodus 4, 12 to 14. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say, the Lord said to Moses. But Moses said, pardon your servant. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. So that's the cool thing straight away, looking into that. The Lord had already reached directly out to Aaron the same time all this huge activity is happening with the Lord directly in front of Moses. Aaron listened, probably was like, what's going on? You want me to walk out into the middle of the wilderness? But he obeyed, headed out to meet Moses. And then a little bit further on, 27 to 30, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness and meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say. He filled him in. And also all the signs that he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. And also performed the signs before the people. So you really look at this, and obviously Moses was a great man, but he still had so much doubt. I mean, we all do, right? Even he's seeing this burning bush, and he's hearing from God. And then he sends to him somebody who can help and be the voice. Aaron played such a huge role, as I said, like being obedient. And I can only imagine when looking into the story how intimidating it would have been to stand in front of Pharaoh, who was probably the most powerful man on the planet at the time, I'd imagine. He had the power to essentially just cast people to death at his whim. And here's Aaron being obedient to God, standing before this most powerful man and making demands, being obedient to God's voice and really sharing and putting himself in harm's way. It was pretty incredible. I love the story about when Aaron threw down his staff as well. And I mean, can you just imagine that situation when the Lord turns your staff into a serpent? That's cool, very cool. But then when the magicians and the sorcerers throw down their staffs and snakes appear, it'd be mind-blowing. The amount of trust and faith that you have in the Lord. And then that real boss move when God's snake ate up the Egyptian snakes just to prove that he is all-powerful and awesome. It's so cool. So in looking at this obedience that Aaron showed and being the voice and standing up and listening to God and being his words for Moses how similar is it for us to obey, to hear the Lord's voice when it's the time for us to share our faith to others, to trust, to sow the seeds, even if the initial reaction is not what we expect it to be? Be obedient and let God do what he needs to do. We just need to be his voice, and that's a call for us today. All right, now we're Aaron stuffed up. Is weakness. One of the most notable events involving Aaron is the incident of the golden calf. While Moses was up the mountain receiving God's Ten Commandments, the Israelites grew impatient, and they got really bolshy and started getting angry. Now, if we can pop up those verses, I'll read from what happens next. But first of all, go the one before,
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I'm a tribe leader.
Yeah.
So pictures like this are pretty cool. So this tells a little bit of the story, and then move on to the verses. So when the people saw that Moses was long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people who took the earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast of the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." Now, I don't want to stick up for Aaron. Like, he really stuffed up. This was not cool. He could have been struck down and killed in this point. But what I find really interesting in the Bible, it's the stories that we hear are often the highlights. There's the moments in between that we don't see. And again, I'm kind of ad-libbing a little bit here, and I don't want to make anything up. But when I read through this passage, I like to think that Aaron still had some good intentions. In some research that I found, it mentioned that Hur, who was one of the other leaders along with Aaron serving with Moses, was even killed at this point for not wanting to create idols. So Aaron was under a lot of pressure. And I almost like to think that he's looking at these Israelites who are just so ungrateful. They've seen all these incredible things as the Lord's led them from Egypt and so many wonders. They've already gone through the Red Sea. And then Moses is away for 40 days, and they're already freaking out. So I like to think Aaron's maybe looking at them thinking, these guys are nuts. And maybe I can just stall their point. They're selfish. And then he asks them, "Hey, go get your gold, not the gold from the tabernacle or anything like that. Go get the gold from your wives, your daughters, and your sons." That's a big ask. He's probably hoping he's going to get this little handful of gold and go, "What am I going to do with this?" And I can just imagine in my head, he wakes up the next morning and walks out, and there's this huge pile of gold, and it's like, "Oh, what the? You're kidding me." Okay, I'm committing to this idol thing, and starts building it and just looking up the mountain, just hoping that see Moses coming down. And then he builds this calf slowly, giving excuses here. And then all of a sudden, the calf is finished and everyone wants to worship it. And just at the last moment, no, tomorrow we'll have a festival. Looking up the mountain, trying to see if Moses is coming down and just hoping he's going to save the day. And of course, Moses does come down as they're doing this big celebration, but it was too late. Moses was super angry and dropped the Ten Commandments, of course. But isn't the story like so many others in the Bible? We've got great men and women who do so many great things, but suffer huge failures. This was a doozy, I've got to say. But what a tragedy if that was the end to the story of Aaron. Isn't it beautiful how God reminds us in Scripture not to focus and dwell on our faults? Because that's what the enemy wants. But Jesus, through his sacrifice, has freed us. As Paul writes in Philippians, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, Paul says, not that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So in saying that, so like I say, the devil just wants us to be dragged down in our faults and feel that's what defines us. And we know through God's sacrifice that's absolutely not the case. Man, the evil one's crazy. Like I tell you, like even this week, just preparing for this message, just so many crazy things just come my way. My boss was away, got dragged into so many meetings. I had time stolen from me. I wiped out, fell down some stairs and whacked myself really hard. Check this.
That's not helping for the sermon roster in the future.
That's it. That's it. I'm just going to wear cotton wool and bubble wrap. That's all right. But it's just awesome through what Jesus has done. And in this case also, like my silly little story of how I interpret between the lines, I feel like just God knew Aaron's heart and he was forgiven. So the faith shaping Israel's spiritual life. Aaron, he was the first high priest, and a man who, despite his failings, played a crucial role in the spiritual life of Israel. His descendants continue to serve in the priestly office, maintaining the religious traditions and rituals established during that time. And this is huge. Like, he was the big cheese in regards to priesthood. And this is after the golden calf thing. Like, far out. It just shows that anyone can be redeemed, anyone can be forgiven. And it's just incredible what God has laid out, and the lineage that was sent forth from his faithfulness from that, which I'll get into a little bit soon as well, but yeah, God is good. And then also just another little tidbit today that I wanted to share just from my research was Aaron's blessing, which Lyndon also touched on in his prayer this morning a little bit. Numbers 6:22-26, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I know our family, as we were in lockdown over in Sydney, there was the versions of this verse put into song going around the world, and this was just something that just meant so much to us through that time and got us through, and especially that New Zealand one was just epic. And it was just so cool. I'm a bit of a novice. I didn't even realize that was often referred to as Aaron's blessing, so I just thought that was pretty rad. So how about all the connections in the Bible as well? So, Jenny, I think if you can bring up cool. So as it says up there, John the Baptist is the descendant of Aaron, the first high priest in the Bible. Through both of his parents, Zechariah, John's father, was a priest from the division of Abijah. And Elizabeth, his mother, was a descendant of Aaron. The lineage made John a Levite, and specifically a Cohen priest. Just as Aaron was a prophet to Moses, John becomes a prophet who heralds in salvation inaugurated by Christ. Isn't that a cool picture of how Jesus and Jesus' story is right through the entire Bible right from the start? It's all about Jesus. And I just love this. I just love this connection. Again, things that I discovered personally this week I didn't realize before, and it just makes the whole Bible just even so much more miraculous to me that right down through that line of faithfulness, we eventually see John, who had that hugely important role in laying the foundation for Jesus, coming through as well. And as the incredible genealogy within the Bible illustrates, through Christ's sacrifice for us, we are now part of Christ's family. We are now part of his family. And that's huge. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Another verse in the New Testament, Galatians 3:26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And 1 John 3:1 to 2, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, dear friends. Now we are children of God. Isn't God's plan amazing? Providing us with his incredible word to show us in his incredible love and his forgiveness, and examples of how he can use faulted people as we are and invite us into his family and be used by him to extend his family. So Aaron was an example of someone who, like we can be, his voice. Forgiven even when we fail, and part of his eternal family. And when we say his voice, when we relate that to today and our everyday walk, often that can just be within our family, whether it be modeling the way and using our voice for our children, for our extended family, our brothers and sisters who we cry out for that relationship with Jesus that we have, that can be so tough. It can be the voice within our workplace or any other aspect of our life, even as mentioned earlier, that it's just planting that seed, just being obedient when God calls us to say the words, as tough as that can be. I know personally it's always been super hard for me to be someone who's a witness. And I continue to pray and hope that that's something that can one day become a strength and be his voice more often. But be encouraged, it doesn't always, when we do this, it's about just being obedient and planting the seed. And as mentioned earlier on, it may not look exactly like we expect it to, that someone just suddenly says, yeah, tell me more. It might be actually a negative response. But just in being obedient, we just let God do what he wants to do. We are forgiven even when we fail. And so in Aaron's case, like I mentioned, that was a doozy, going into idolatry and potentially leading people away from the plan that God had for them. But what an incredible example of forgiveness that he became the first priest of Israel, essentially kicking off the Jewish religion practices that we see. And I just want to encourage us also today that that's the same for us. We do not define ourselves for the failures that we've all been through. The times when we've let ourselves down, we let our family down. I was going to say, you let the whole school down. But look. But yes, keep praying. Even if you're feeling persecuted, lean into Jesus. And as Aaron went forward and his lineage went all the way down to John, one of the most important roles played to bring in Jesus, which is all about, that can be as us. And as we are part of his family and cling on to that, it is such a blessing being part of God's family, and something that I don't always keep front of mind, but it's so important too. Family is awesome. As we, so many examples in the lineages and the genealogies that you see in the Bible, of course, we may not relate directly to these guys. We might not be Levites ourselves, but when Jesus made his sacrifice for us, he cleared all that and made us part of his family, and that is more powerful, I'd say, than anything else. It's just absolutely incredible and a blessing. All right. If you can pray with me. Lord God, we just thank you for this miraculous word that you give us in the Bible, the examples that you've given to us, Lord. we just thank you that we can apply these to our lives and that you love us so much that we are a part of your family, Lord, and we ask that you just continue to help us see the situations where we can be your voice to plant the seeds for you. Lord, we just ask that you just forgive us and help us to move forward into the amazing plans that you have for our lives and put aside what the enemy tries to keep putting in front of us and to look back at our failures, but to cast aside and understand pure forgiveness, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that we are part of your family and we just claim that. We just claim that in our hearts and we just ask that you continue to help us be incredible children of God and move closer to you every day to hear your voice, to be obedient to you, and to move into your word. Amen. All right, so I'll hand over to Lyndon shortly, but But yeah, just want to say, yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I will hang around after the service as well. If people want to have some prayer about your voice around forgiveness and understanding being in God's family as well. Beautiful. Thanks. Sure. Now.
Oh, nice. Wonderful. Why don't we stand and let's just thank you. So please just have a word to Tim afterwards, just to encourage. It's always one of those things of when you sit down, you sort of think, oh, did that go anywhere? Did that mean anything? So if it did, please be really faithful with that to let him know. It's a really, really wonderful thing. So thank you, Father. We thank you so much for your for the life that we see in Aaron, one of incredible highs and fantastic lows. And Father, we stand before you as people who know what that's like, know what it's like to see you move in wonderful ways, to be used by you, to be overwhelmed by what you can do in and through us. And we also are people who know that we can stuff up absolutely phenomenally. And so, God, we thank you this morning. I thank you this morning for your faithfulness in all of it, that you never change. Your faithfulness is the same when we're on the top of a mountaintop, and your faithfulness is the same when we've completely stuffed up. So, God, come and be faithful. Do what only you can do. Be who we know you to be. Just kind of get a sense of, like, there are some people here who are just even thinking about it. Even as Tim was sharing, you're just kind of reliving your own kind of golden calf moment, that moment where you can hardly believe you did what you did. And you're so imprisoned by shame that the Holy Spirit is present here today to open that is a prison that you were never made to live in. That what you're holding against yourself, God says, I don't even have that. You know, he's not holding it against you. Men, we'd love to pray with you this morning that you would experience today the freedom that God has already given you. Shame and is not from God. So Lord, bless us as we go out, as we go into the week ahead, as for all of the teachers and kids who are going back to school this week, would you be with us? Would we know your presence with us? Would we know your voice in us? God, would we be them? Be your mouthpiece into wherever we go this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. And so if you would like someone to pray with you, we would love to do that. I'd say look for a lanyard, but I've taken my lanyard off. But I'll be up here. Tim will be up here.